Hey, as we celebrate 2015, you know what? God makes it so. Aren't you glad? He not only makes it snow, he makes it so. As we celebrate 2015, James Cole has a birthday today. Stand up, James. That's okay. Anybody else have a birthday today? Oh, wait, somebody back there. Who? No, not Wayne. Wayne has a birthday? We weren't planning on this. Anybody else? Your granddaughter? Okay, well, let's go on here. All right. Let's celebrate 2015. And I want to just look at a couple verses that are going to help us do that. Okay? And they're verses that tell us how we can live and how God can make us celebrate Him. They're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through 33. And I'd like us to read these verses together. These timeless truths. Let's read. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. What a great passage. And if we're going to celebrate God today and throughout the rest of our lives, we have to come to grips with what that means. He talks about, first of all, glorifying God in everything. The word glory has the idea, the Old Testament word has the idea of being heavy or weighty. The New Testament word has the idea of God's opinion or estimate. So when a person glorifies God, they have the right opinion about God. They have the right estimate about who God is. Sometimes the word glory has the idea of light in the New Testament. It says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them in Luke chapter 2. God's glory is this light. Psalm 104 and verse 2 says that God enshrouds himself. He wraps himself in a garment of light. So what does it mean to glorify God? We glorify God when God proves by our lives, by our actions, by our words, that he is who he says he is. That we give people the right opinion about God. Hey, how are you doing in that arena? Are you glorifying God? In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. In fact, I remember one guy praying one time. He says, God, forgive us for our falling shorts. I think he was praying in Romans 3:23, and God knew what he meant, and so did I, but you obviously didn't. Glorify God in everything. Jesus said this way in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, let your light, it's now your light, you shine. God has placed his light in you as a believer. And if you're a believer, God is in you. You're indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it says in Philippians 2:15, it says that we shine as stars in the universe. So it's not just about Star Wars now. We're God's Star Wars. We shine as stars in the universe. And so he says, now let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Glorify God in everything. When people see Christ through me, by my words, my actions, my attitudes, my spirit, when people see Christ in me, then I've glorified God. When the Spirit of God proves by and through my life that God is who he says he is, then I've glorified God. What are people seeing in your life? Are you glorifying God? Do you have the right opinion about God? The right estimate? God is loving. God's embracing. God came down to this earth because we couldn't make it to heaven on our own. The Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth. That's what this Christmas season's all about. How Christ became a human being. How he became a son of man so that we could become sons of God. What we couldn't do, he did for us. And in coming down to this earth, what he's showing us is that he loves us. He's embraced us. God's healthy. He's wholesome. He's whole. He's good. He's embracing. He's loving. He's kind. He's gracious. Are you? Am I? When people think of me, do they think of somebody like that? When people think of me or see me, do they see somebody like Christ? Oh, we'll never be like Christ totally in this life, in this world. We'll never be Christ. But God can live through us, and we can glorify God. And I love what it says in this verse, whether therefore you eat or drink. Mundane task, normal task. Sometimes we look at glorifying God as something like, man, I mean, we do this great thing for God, or we're speaking for God, or we're going to share this testimony, or whatever we're going to do. We're doing this great thing for God. Literally, he says, whether you eat or drink, in the daily task of life, the mundane task of life, glorify him. Glorify him. Give people the right estimate about God. Let them see that your opinion about God matches God's opinion about himself. And when they see you, they see a God that's embracing, a God that's loving, a God that's gracious, a God that's kind, a God that's transparent, a God that's authentic, not a God that's hidden, not a God that keeps at arm's distance, but a God that loves from his heart. Whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. Secondly, it says, offend no one in anything. Mahatma Gandhi made this statement. He said, I could accept Christ except for Christians. What a statement. I could accept Christ except for Christians. And I don't know where he was coming from or what he saw. But more often than not, what I found out, there are many, many people who aren't really rejecting the Christ of the Bible. They're rejecting the Christ of us, the Christ of me, the Christ of my life. The Christ that pushes people away. The Christ that's severe. The Christ that's weighty in the wrong way. The Christ that puts pressure on people. The Christ that produces guilt and shame. The Christ that says, you have to do this. A lot of Christians give that message out. And as a result, they become very offensive. To glorify God, for God's light to be seen in me and through me, I should offend no one in anything. When people see you, when people think about you, what do they say? I had the privilege of hearing that one day about 30 years ago at a first church where we were pastoring, maybe 35 years ago. I was on the phone with somebody. Have you ever hung up, but they didn't hang up? Why? Well, I hung up and they didn't hang up. I went to make a call and they were still on the phone. And you want to know who they were talking about? Me. You want to know what they said? TMI. Too much information. You're not going to know. I heard them talking about me. I listened for about 30 seconds. I thought, I need to hang up. When people talk about you, when they think about you, what do they see? Are you offensive? Do you help people or do you hurt people? Are you abrasive? Are you embracing? Offend no one in anything, in any way. Many people are rejecting Christ through us, but not the Christ of the Bible. It's our interpretation of Christ. It's our view of Christ. We're giving them a false perspective. And you know what? That's the Christ they ought to reject. They're often rejecting my interpretation, my lack of love, my control and slavery, my systems. There are many people in the world who've never really seen the real Christ through a man. A man made this statement one day, I saw something very miraculous today. I saw Christ in a man. I saw something very miraculous today. I saw Christ in a woman, or Christ through a young person. Do people see the Christ of the Bible, the Christ of the Scriptures through you? Am I attractive, embracing, authentic? Do people know that you love them? Do people see Jesus in you and through you? Christ is beautiful, isn't he? He's embracing. He's lovely, and he's loving. May that be our story. Thirdly, it says, not only glorify God in everything, whether you eat or drink, and then it says to do it in such a way to where you offend no one in anything, but you please everyone in all things. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, I'm not a man pleaser. If I'm living to please men, then he says I'm not a servant of God. So it's not pleasing men. In other words, I don't live just to please men. And he says I don't live to please ourselves. In the last days, it says men will be lovers of pleasures, lovers of self rather than lovers of God, but it's pleasing everyone in all things. In Romans chapter 15, it says, we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak And not to please ourselves, for Christ did not please himself. Christ always did those things that pleased the Father. From that word please, we get the idea of pleasure. Christ always brought pleasure to the Father. Hey, do you please the Father? He loves you. Do you love him in return? Are you bringing pleasure to God? Are you enjoying God? Do I bring God's pleasure? Hey, what motivates me? Are you trying to be something? Are you trying to be a husband? Or trying to be a man? Or trying to be a woman or a wife? Or trying to be a Christian? Or trying to be a leader? Or trying to be something? What pleases God is we quit trying to be something and trust him. For by faith it's impossible to please God. When I trust God, that pleases God. When I trust God, when I walk by faith, that brings pleasure to God. And that means I don't know the future. That means I don't even know the rest of today. Which means I can trust God. I can put my hands in God's hand and watch what he does. As we celebrate 2015, as we look forward to 2016, if God gives us another year, he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through 33, glorify God in everything. Offend no one in anything, and please everyone in all things. And do that by the way you eat and drink. That's just guilt producing after Christmas, isn't it? Does God want you to enjoy good food?
Yes.
Of course. Hey, did Mark say that? Who said that? Yes, he does. He's richly given us all things to enjoy. Today as we celebrate, we're going to hear from most of our pastoral team. A couple of them we're going to hear through video because they aren't here. So I'd like to ask Kim if she would to come up. And she's going to share what's going on in children's ministry. We have a great staff. You want this? We have a great staff and Kim's part of that staff. Kim's been with us how long?
A year.
Just a year in November. A year last month.
Yes.
That's great. Welcome. We're glad you're here. We love you. Thank God for all you're doing. Why don't you celebrate with us? Tell us what God's doing in children's ministry.
Thanks. We have had a great year in children's ministry. And for us, it's really been a building year, just putting a lot of things in place to help us move forward into the future here at Sunrise. And our mission is joining families on the journey of childhood and faith, because we believe that is so important that we join with our families as they want to raise their children to know God and to love God. So everything that we do falls into line with that mission. And I want to highlight a few of those things for you this morning. And the first is our Boys Stockade program. There should be a slide for that. We have a stockade program on Wednesday night. That's our boys club for boys in third through fifth grade. And this is a program that's been going on at the church for a really long time. We have a lot of very committed men who volunteer in this program. And they work with our boys spiritually. They present Bible lessons. They build things in the basement of the church, which is so cool when the boys come out with snowshoes and birdhouses and frames and all kinds of great stuff. And then they enrich their lives further by doing things like going on hikes and canoe trips and different things. And this program is so in line with what we want to do with children's ministry, because we would love to have our dads join with us. We want to have an impact on kids, not just at church and spiritually, but in their lives. And dads, we invite you to be a part of that. If you have gotten through this fall of stockade and your boy participates and you haven't gone with us on a hike or canoeing or building or just hanging out on a Wednesday night, we invite you to join us on that because we're excited about it. The next thing I want to highlight is Hume Lake. We take a group of kids to Hume Lake every summer. And this was fourth through sixth graders this last summer. And you'll see the girls are up there on that picture that went away. Because the girls I got to have a special experience with. I got to join them for 3 days at Hume Lake this summer, which was fantastic. And I happened to be there on the night when they had their campfire and their opportunity to respond with their hearts to what God was teaching them. And so exciting when students are hearing from God and you see that on their faces and in their hearts. And three of the young ladies stayed back for campfire and got to recommit their lives to Christ. And then after their camp counselor and I and them, we laid a blanket out on this hill in the middle of Wagon Train and just laid there and looked up at the stars and got to talk about what God had been saying to them and got to pray with them, which was just a great moment. And again, they were hearing from God and experiencing his work in their hearts, which was thrilling. And then moving forward, this year we've had the opportunity to get involved in our community, working with Trajan Elementary School, which is just around the corner from us. And it was important to me that we get out in the community, that if you want to experience the people of Sunrise, you don't just have to come here at 10:50 on a Sunday morning to do that. And so we've gotten involved over there and participated in their harvest fair, their Santa breakfast, stuffing files, doing all kinds of things. And we look forward to building a relationship with them in this coming year as just something that it takes God out to people in the community.
Thanks, Kim. Great job. You're going to find that most of our staff has been here about 2.5 years or newer. And she's just doing a great job. And we appreciate you. Love you. Thanks for all you're doing. God bless you. Good. Greg.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jen Cole. I am the Women's Ministry Director here, and Greg and I are so thrilled and honored to be up here just to share with you what God has been doing in the life of adult ministries this year. So Greg and I have the honor and privilege to serve alongside over 200 volunteers in adult ministries, and they have truly been the hands and feet of Jesus Christ this year.
I'm Greg Triplett, Adult Ministries Pastor, and as we had the time to share with you a little bit of this year, you know, we realized that we could have said a lot about events that happened, number of people that came out, but we decided we want to focus on just a few stories of changed lives that we've seen in 2015. If you look up on the screen, you're going to see a baptism, and I had the privilege just a month or so ago to baptize an Iranian man by the name of Farhad. Now, Farhad's twin brother came here to the States 17 years ago, became a Christian, and got connected with Hamid, who works on our facilities team here. Now, they were separated for those many years, and just a handful of months ago, Farhad came to the States. He, too, has come to know Christ and is in a place now where he is free from religious persecution to grow in his faith, be public about his faith, and is connected with this group of Iranian believers that Hamid leads on Sundays after church here. So it's just incredible. People are coming to Christ from the nations here at Sunrise.
Amen. That's good. Praise God.
A real praise for me this year in women's ministry is to serve alongside my precious friend Melody, who you will see up on the screen. And when I asked her to just write me a few sentences about what women's ministry has meant to her this year, in less than 24 hours, she sent me a poem. God has gifted her in the form of poetry. And so I'm going to read you an excerpt of a poem that she wrote about what women's ministry means to her. I was floating, a hopeless case, tried to hide behind my face. Women surrounded my fragile frame before they even knew my name. Women of ministries, their love is true for Jesus of glory, the me and sweet you. Purpose and meaning, they seek to uphold you, the woman more priceless than gold. If floating through this journey, you don't know where to start, find the breath of Jesus inside a woman's heart. I'm blessed beyond measure, and you will be too, by those in this ministry caring for you.
Amen. Thank you. That's good.
And though men's ministry may have been floating under the radar a little bit this year, God has been working our men's leadership team and specifically growing a passion for Jesus' words in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. We want to see a men's ministry that is all about disciple making. And up on the screen, you're going to see Philip Brown and his beautiful family. Well, back during the summer, we had an event with about 25 men we called Church on the Mountain. That's the picture you see in the lower left. It was nothing short of spectacular. And during that time, we challenged a handful of men in this church to consider the impact of who they're influencing. And Paul Lockwood took that challenge. And since that time, he has been meeting on a weekly basis with Philip Brown, who, by the way, became a Christian in this church 7 years ago, to walk alongside him, to go through scripture together, together, to pray together, and intentionally pour his life into Philip's life and help him grow as a young follower of Jesus Christ. This is just a snapshot of what we're trusting God to do more and more of in 2016. And in the coming months, you're going to be hearing more of something that men's ministry is calling discipleship culture, as we desire to see this kind of relationship happen and more lives transformed here at Sunrise.
Thank you.
So our next screen is going to be exciting because that really shows you a glimpse into our young families and what we have going on here for them. Our first picture there is family camp. Family camp was so amazing. Our family was a part of that. And we just felt like we were just at one with nature and God and those families within our church. It was just a weekend of respite and fun and worshiping our Lord and Savior together. Also, the other picture is of a young family life group that we have going on here at Sunrise, just a way for young families to connect and do life together. We also have a thriving MOPS and Moms Next ministry, which is just support for those moms. They're in the trenches together, just doing life together as moms. So that's what you could do, is join Greg and myself in just a prayer for this year. We see God at work in this church. We see God have a renewed energy and breathing life into this church in the form of young families. So if you could just join us in prayer and seeing the ways that God will just be at work in these young families' lives in 2016.
And finally, a huge highlight for adult ministries was the Closer Look at Sunrise membership class. Through this class, I got to meet many new faces and help individuals get connected with the church here. And if you're wondering, membership's kind of like hanging your hat at Sunrise. It's saying, I'm not just an attender, but I'm going to own what happens here. I'm a part of this church. I'm going to contribute to this church and identify with this church. Well, for many of us, honestly, we may walk into a church and look around and think, oh, these people seem to have it together. And if they knew what was going on in my life, well, I don't know how they would respond. And maybe you're even here this morning and you're thinking, you know, my life is a mess. I want to introduce you to Ron and Stacy Rogers, who I met through our membership class. And if you'd met them just a handful of years ago, they were on the streets. Their life was caught up in drugs, and that was actually when they met each other, when they were both homeless. And God has radically transformed them through their relationship with each other, through a relationship with Jesus Christ, through other resources that came into their lives, and God graciously provided. And by the time they joined our church just a year or so ago, you wouldn't have even known their backstory. And today, you might see Stacy on a Wednesday night serving with our toddlers. You might see Ron on a Sunday morning ushering here in the church. It's a life of drug use to being used by God. And God is using them, and God can use you. And this is exactly what he is doing to transform lives here in his body.
Thank you very much. We love you guys. These guys are doing a great job in ministry. So we appreciate you. Thanks for all you're doing with women and with men.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yeah. Hey, Pastor Steve's coming up. Steve, do you have a video? I'm not sure. Let's just see. Come on up. I'm just teasing.
There's no video. No more videos.
Rachel's not able to be here today, right?
Rachel's not here. She's on vacation. It's okay. Great. Giving her a day off.
Okay.
So this is awesome. But, you know, things that in worship, it's just so awesome to see God work. One of the things we're able to do this year, we are able to be part of the triennial. The NAB, our denomination. I can't say that word.
That's a Star Wars thing.
Yeah. We were able to be part of that and help do worship for people in this all in the NAB all across the country that came to see Sunrise, see what was happening at Sunrise. It was really cool to be able to influence and show that you can have multi-generational worship and you can do you can reach all the generations. And so there that is right there. It is the Sacramento Convention Center. There's several thousand people there. It was really awesome. And so that was a really cool highlight of the year. Also, we had a choir concert. And, of course, we've had some technology stuff updates here. We've had, look at these things. We've got lights, some sound. And so things have just been really great, you know. The cool thing is, though, we're pouring into a new generation of worship leaders. And that's what's really amazing. As you see some of the slides here as we go, just some pictures. But We're encouraging the youth to participate, mentoring them, teaching, bringing up a next generation of music and worship leading. Just encourage people as they serve. As people serve, they learn what it is to love God and how God can use them and how they can get on fire for God. And I'm just really, really excited about what God is doing here through music at Sunrise. You know, there was a time where Sunrise was thought of as, you know, wow, the music is, you know, that's where the music is happening at Sunrise, you know, and that was back in the 80s and 70s, and things have changed, and, you know, we've had to adjust some things, but we are getting back to that place again, and God is just moving here, and some great things are happening musically, but that's because of God's Spirit, because of what He's doing, and how, and the foundation that was built here by people like Larry Roberts and Ron Rogalski, and that foundation is what we're building on, and it's such a great musical legacy, and it's such an honor to be part of that and to come here and to see how God is moving and working so much in music. And we're just hoping, we have this mission statement that says we want to create a healthy and encouraging environment in which a wellspring of music will bless Sunrise and bless the community and bless the nations. And so we're continuing to do that. And so we're looking forward to what God is going to continue to do in worship, and because worship is such a heartbeat. And one more thing I want to say is that what's really important is that what we're trying to do in worship is we're trying to reach into the past and honor the past, and we're also trying to reach into the future. And we have this heart and hope that we talk about. We have the heart of Sunrise, this foundation that's built, and we have the hope of Sunrise, and we're reaching out into the future. And you have to do both. A lot of churches struggle with that. They think that their best days are behind them, and they reach into the past, or they think they reach so far into the future that they neglect the past. But we're actually doing both, and that's a model that I think can be illustrated for many churches. We can influence many churches across the nation and how to transition. We're actually doing it here at Sunrise. We're transitioning well.
Yeah, good.
And so it's a process of that balance of reaching back and forward at the same time, and musically, and we're doing it, and I'm so glad that we have such a great team with Rachel and Chanel, and our choir is growing, has grown, and it's fantastic. So I'm just excited about what's happening, and just honored that God would have me here, and mystified that God would have me here. It's just, you know, because if you know my past and how broken I am, it's a miracle that I'm even standing here.
Praise God. We're glad you're here, Steve. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. Good. Good. Glad you're here. You know, one of the great things, as Steve's talking, you notice in all of our ministries, our focus is to reach the next two generations, the 25 to 45-year-olds, and also their children. And what you're going to see in all these generations, not only do we see it with the staff that we've hired, but you're seeing it by the people that are getting involved in ministry. We've had an older generation that has done a great job and they're still serving Christ well, but we're also seeing younger generations come in and serve Christ. Isn't that great? It really is. Thank you. We're going to hear now from two of our youth staff who aren't able to be here. Nolan's in India and Cliff is on vacation, but let's hear from them. Instead of Loretta, I think Cliff and Nolan. I think we have a video there, don't we, guys?
Well, good morning.
Hey, friends.
How are you doing today?
We're doing good.
Because they can't respond. Well, they could respond, but anyway.
Never mind.
We're not here. We're here.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Is this the Twilight Zone?
Maybe. But okay. Where are you?
Currently, as you're watching this, I'm in India. It's a great country. It's beautiful.
It's amazing. And I'm in almost like that, Fresno.
Wow.
Which is awesome. But we're not with you this morning. So to give our report, sorry about that little
It sounded good.
Yeah, anyway, that was the high school group's fault.
Yeah.
To give our report for this last year and what God's been doing through these ministries, we wanted to show a little video with the students telling their perspective on what's been happening.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of guys and girls that have grown a ton in Christ this year, and we wanted you to hear it firsthand from them. So watch these videos as they tell you what's been going on.
Here you go. God showed up at Hume Lake this summer in a way that none of us would have imagined. Our students connected with each other and with God and came home as a family.
So at Hume Lake, God taught me that love can come from anywhere, from anyone that you didn't expect it, or from youth leaders that you've never met before.
Our young men can be vulnerable with one another and really open up, and we can show each other how to love one another, support, and pray, and just come together, you know, as a youth group.
Also, going to Hume Lake was a big change because I chose to be baptized and give my life to Christ.
And Mexicali was a life changer. It taught our students to look outside of themselves, to reach into other lives, and have an impact for Christ. This year saw us take almost 60 students, travel over 600 miles, and partner with three different churches to do VBS programs, men's and women's Bible studies, and community outreach.
Being like surrounded with the presence of God and trying to bring that environment back to the high school group, like in the group, and then to like our schools and to our everyday
life. God showed me the power and importance of prayer, because our team witnessed some almost instantaneous healings from illness, and I never experienced that before, so it was really awesome for me to see how God can work in that way.
Well, because I'm the one making the video, I get to insert my favorite thing of the year, and that is, last winter, we got to see Nolan and Anna Pierce join our ministry. And actually, they weren't even married then. He had just moved from the East Coast. They got married in May, went to Hume with us in June, and have just been going full throttle ever since. So we're thrilled to have Nolan here as part of the ministry of Sunrise, and hear a few more clips of what God's been doing through the middle school and young adult ministry.
At the middle school retreat, I learned that my life's not all about myself, and I began to release my pride to Jesus.
So through my leaders and talking with them, I've realized that God has a plan for everything, even though I might not see it yet, never in 20 years.
Right. Through our Sunday morning U-turn meetings, I learned firsthand the freedom that comes with salvation.
I want to get baptized today because I've wanted to for the past few years, but after I got home from Mexico, God was just telling me that, why are you waiting? Do it now. So I'm getting baptized today to show my dedication and my love for Christ.
I finally realized that it's not the spiritual high at Hume or because everyone else is doing it. It's when God knows that you're ready. And I feel like He's been finally telling me that. And in Romans 6:4 it says, we are therefore buried with Him through baptism unto death, so like Jesus Christ rose from the dead from the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life.
I've been told by God to do this so many times, and I feel like I've been pushing it off and pushing it off, and that's the reason I want to get baptized, is just I've been putting it off, and God's been telling me to do it, and I haven't been doing what He says. So,
well, there you have it.
How did you get over there?
It's the video. We edited it that way.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As you see, God did some incredible things in the lives of our students in this last year.
Yeah, it's so good hearing from these young people how Christ is at work in their life. The reason we shoot this video and remind you guys of this is because we're encouraged by the Holy Spirit's power that we can see in our students and young people at Sunrise.
And we want to thank you for being a part of that, for praying for our students, for praying for us and our families. And we're just excited for this coming year, what God's going to be doing, and just ask that you be praying for, continue to pray for all of us.
Yeah, so thank you.
God bless you.
Good. Thank you, Cliff and Nolan. Yeah, Loretta. Actually, Cliff and Nolan are so dynamic, we asked them to leave. We didn't want them on the platform together. So, no, they are doing a great job. Loretta, come on up, if you would. Joetta's in a transition in jobs, as you know, but she's been our facilities director the last 6 years. And we wanted to not, let her share about what's going on there, because there's a lot of things going on with your team and facilities.
Okay. Come on up, guys. First, I'd like to introduce the facilities team. This is the team that cares for the church, and they take care of everything. They're the people that clean the restrooms and set the worship center up each week and tear it down so that other things can happen in here. So they set up rooms, they take out trash, they fix bathrooms, they do all that kind of stuff. So my hat's off to them, because this is the team that you don't see usually, but they're the ones behind the scenes doing the care of this facility. So thank you. We're missing one today that's home with a fever. So that's a good thing that he's home with a fever and not here with us. So, and then I would like to start out, also on the facility team is Debbie Schmidt. Debbie Schmidt is the kitchen supervisor, and she and her faithful team prepare meals about 32 weeks a year here on Wednesday nights. Debbie, could you stand up? There she is. And her team prepare those meals. Debbie also is here many days during the week doing things like memorials or special events or things like that. So she's a busy lady, and her volunteer team supports her faithfully in those areas. So thank you, Debbie. The next group I'd like to introduce is our toolbox crew. And this is only less than half, because there's some people that don't want to be up on stage today, kind of like I feel too. You get a little nervous being up here. So these guys are amazing. And this was the high point of my week, is working with these men every Wednesday morning. We would meet in the basement. We would discuss the different work orders that we had to do. Some weeks we would do 16 work orders. They would be out like bees, little bees here on the campus, fixing, hanging, adjusting, moving, doing things that you would never know that were being done. These guys have done over 314 work orders, well, over 315 work orders so far this year here at the church. So if it wasn't for them, there would be so much more on the plates of these guys over here, who are already pretty full with moving chairs and setting up and tearing down. So these guys, together with the facility team, are the ones that do all the work here that you probably don't see, but maybe you notice when it's done. So thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And then the ministries that we do that are under the facilities umbrella this year. The first one is Sanctuary at Sunrise. And if any of you served with Sanctuary at Sunrise, would you raise your hand? Over 300 of you served with Sanctuary of Sunrise. That ministry is, we partner with Capital Christian and Sacramento Steps Forward, and about two busloads, which is up to 100 people, are bused from downtown Sacramento. They meet at Loaves and Fishes. They are check to make sure everything is okay. They have to meet certain criteria. They are bused to different places, and Sunrise hosted 7 nights this year. And we provided them a hot meal, a place to sleep where they didn't have to worry about somebody coming up and attacking them while they were sleeping. It was warm for them. We provided fellowship with you that came and visited with them while they were here, and played games or watched a movie or just engaged in conversation with them. And then the next morning, they got up and they had breakfast before they were bused back downtown to Sacramento. So again, thank you to all the volunteers. You'd have another opportunity. We have signed up for February 14th to the 21st of 2016. So again, we'll be hosting those guests coming from downtown Sacramento. And our goal is to show them the love of Jesus and provide them a place where they can be safe and cared for. The next group was the toolbox crew I talked about, with the 315 work orders that were done. And then
There's some pictures of them, some of the guys there that might, some of them you saw up here, some of you didn't. And the next pictures I'd like to show are Bethlehem Village. And this year we had, as I think you've already heard, over 8,330 people came through the census. We don't know how many of the Sunrise people snuck in the back that didn't wait in line, so we just know that 8,330 came through the census. So it's pretty amazing when you think that in 7.5 hours, that's how many people came through our campus. That's huge, huge. So those are some of the ministries that are under facilities, and it has just been a pleasure working this year and serving in those areas. It's really not work. It's just energizing because it's a way of us serving one another, and I think that's what we're all called to do. So thank you for the pleasure of serving as facilities director and for the many volunteers that I've worked with, and thank you for serving, and carry on.
Thank you, Lorraine. God bless you. I'll take that. Good. Just one minute. Bill, come on in. Good. Just one minute. You know, often it's an area of facilities that we take a lot of things for granted. And we appreciate Loretta and her team, and there's many, many other people that work here in many other different capacities. And we expect things to be done, and if they aren't, we hear about it. But they've just done a great job, and our facilities are looking better and better because of their ministries and their work. So thank you, Loretta, and all your team. God bless you guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, can we encourage Pastor Rich? You're doing a great job working with our staff team. We're really enjoying that. You know, God uses everything that you have just heard to form us. Part of the central idea in Scripture is that Jesus Christ would be formed in us. That's important because we're not meant to stay right here. All of us are actually sent out there. And I want to introduce you, if you don't already know him, to Nate Pels. Nate and his family are Sunrise missionaries to Jordan. We have been so blessed because Nate has served as our mission coordinator right here. He's a part of helping mobilize our church into mission. Their family got so mobilized, they had a baby. Look at this. So this is Nehemiah. He's the little guy in blue right there, and he is joining Sister Sarah and Ruth. Nate, it's been really fun to serve with you this year. Give us a little bit of a report about how God is taking Sunrise on mission.
I have 13 people that serve on our mission commission. Our mission commission team is split into three groups. I don't know if any of you have ever thought of mission like this, but we think of mission as international mission, short-term mission, and local mission. I don't know if you've never thought about that, but there's a lot of ways within those three ways of serving, but those are kind of three special ways that each of us can be participating in mission. So I encourage you to think about, you know, getting involved with international missionaries, short-term mission teams, maybe going or sending, but also being involved with local mission here at home. A lot of churches do one of those areas, but don't do the other ones very well, but we're learning to do them, all three of those areas, pretty well. So something that happened in international mission this year, we were able to send Juliana Law to the Ukraine, and along with Jason Chappelle to the Philippines. That was really encouraging. They've been raising support for a number of years, and were able to go out and have started to engage in language learning and working with the kids and the families and the young people that God's called them to go to. Something else that happened, we sent out 75 care packages to the persecuted church through an event that happened in October. Those care packages go into places like Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan to serve the Christian families there that are under persecution. A lot of them living in refugee camps or in other places where they don't get a whole lot of access to help from the outside. Also, within short-term mission, our Philippines team went to serve alongside Jason in the Philippines. We also sent out another six teams. Altogether, we sent out 95 people, including those that went to Mexicali, Asia, Uganda, and places like Hong Kong as well. So really encouraging year. There's another three teams that are going to be sent out in just a few days as well, in the month of January. Those teams have been distributing Bibles. They've dug wells. They've ministered to children and families. And a lot of them have been very challenged to come back and serve in different capacities here in the U.S. Or even go overseas. So it's been a really encouraging year. Also right now we have the Urbana team that is in Urbana in, I think, St. Louis, Missouri. They're at a conference right now. Any of you guys have heard of that mission conference? It's a huge conference, thousands of young people coming together from all over the country and mission organizations, hundreds of them represented. Our organization is there as well, trying to mobilize young people to get into God's heart for the nations. So we wanted to take a couple of minutes to pray for those young people. So we have Brian and Christy Garner are on that team, along with their daughter, Michaela, Maddie and Mackenzie Saunders, Allison Hall, Kelsey and Mary Katalika, Blake and Rydell, Micah and Elliot. So let's just take a couple minutes to pray for them. Lord God, we just thank you for this team that you've sent to Urbana. Thank you so much, Lord, for the things that, Lord, you're going to be speaking to them during these days, Lord God. Just thank you for the life-changing experience, Lord God, that this will be, Lord God, for so many of them on that team, Lord. We pray that you would clarify your call on their lives and your purpose and their lives, Lord, whether it's in short-term capacity or an international mission, Lord God, or serving here at Sunrise, Lord, or different places around our country. God, please, Lord, we pray that you would touch these young people. Lord, call them into your work, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to minister, Lord, at that conference, Lord, that you would just raise up a generation of young people, Lord, that would go to the nations, Lord, that would go to our nation, Lord God, that would reach into the hard places, Lord God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nate. That's a great review. If you have not yet gotten to know Nate and Gra, I really commend them to you. They will probably be with us another 3 or 4 months before they make their way back to Jordan. God is using them here, and he's got some great plans for them in the Middle East as well. On the local side, 28 people visited over 500 homes in our neighborhoods, literally knocking on those doors and praying for people in those homes. As a church, we gave away nearly $60,000 to people in need in our community. And then this year, 37 people were baptized as followers of Jesus Christ. Can we praise God for that? Isn't that awesome? Wow. Now, friends, we want to conclude today with sort of a glimpse about where we're going. I don't know the future, but everything would indicate that in 2016, we're going to see a few things. There are going to be terrorists in our world who are going to continue to try to sow fear in human hearts. There may be an active shooting incident somewhere in our country, somewhere in our state. We will probably, well, certainly elect a new president one way or another. That's going to happen. Some unforeseen changes may happen in our culture, but friends, the important thing will not change. God will still have given his son, Jesus Christ, to you and me and to whom all who would believe. And friends, God has given us a vision to follow Jesus Christ, to become, to belong, and to bless. This coming year, we're going to frame our teaching series by that vision statement. And we're going to break off big chunks of our year, multiple months, to take a look at what it means to become and what it means to belong and what it means to bless. Friends, what it means to become is that none of us here have arrived. Aren't you glad? We do not believe that the gospel is simply pray a prayer, then sit in a chair and wait to go up there. God has more in mind for us. God actually intends for us to be transformed. In Colossians 1:28, Paul wrote, "He is the one we proclaim, Jesus, admonishing and teaching," if you check out that verse, "everyone." How many does everyone mean? It means everyone, not just the people that have been here a long time, or not just the people that get here early, or not just the people who know where all the restrooms are, but everyone who comes here with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Friends, the Greek word behind that is teleos. It speaks of maturity, of completeness, of perfection. Can I tell you something? My friend, you have a soul. It is the most important part of you. As you live and breathe in our culture, you're going to have all kinds of messages about the merits of having a bigger house, a faster car, a more prestigious education, a thinner body, and whiter teeth. And maybe even more hair. Who knows? And none of those things are bad in and of themselves. But my friends, those are not eternal things. You can take your teeth to a dentist. You can take your eyes to an optometrist or an ophthalmologist. Where do you take your soul? Your soul is the only part of you that lasts forever. Friends, do you have an inner life? The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." The psalmist spoke to himself. Friends, we are very interested not just that you come to church 52 times a year, but that somebody comes into your life and changes you from the inside, Jesus Christ. That's what it means to become. And none of us are in this alone. We're all in it together. We belong to one another. Friends, loneliness is the scourge of our age. We have more communication than ever, but surprisingly less community than we need. Paul wrote the Corinthian believers in chapter 12, verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Not the paid staff, not the people that have been here, not the people that sing the songs. Each one of us is a part of it. So we build relationships. We work at it, friends. We practice the one another's. We honor one another. We encourage one another. We love one another. We accept one another. We serve one another. We instruct one another. We bear with one another. We spur one another on. We submit to one another. Why? Ephesians chapter 5. Out of reverence for Christ. Even when we don't feel like it. Even when it's costly or inconvenient. My friends, this is not a place to attend. This is a place to belong. We are a living, breathing community of souls, animated by the Holy Spirit, informed by the Word of God. So we hug and we visit and we have hard conversations and we have constructive conflict and we forgive because we are the body of Christ being perfected by God in our relationships with one another. Can I get an amen? Let's praise God for that, friends. Let me tell you, one view of church is that you're going to come and sit here and the blessing is going to come like this, and that will happen. But a much more mature view of church is that it goes like this, that you're in a life group, you're in an adult class, it's not just whoever's speaking or singing or whatever, it's the one another's, it's doing life and ministry together. You can be as blessed or more on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday as you ever could on a Sunday. But finally, friends, it's never about us. It's always about God and other people. We grab each other and we say, "Hey, have your children been blessed? And were your middle schoolers and your young adults and your high school students? And were you blessed on the men's retreat and the fantastic women's event?" And if you were blessed, we grab each other by the shoulders. We look each other in the eye and we say, "Now give it all away. Give it to somebody who isn't here yet." We live in a tremendous world of hurt, my friends. People face disappointment, jobs end, plans fizzle, health fades, relationships get strained, sin abounds. Into that world, as the body of Christ, you and I are called to bless others who may never bless us back. Paul wrote the Corinthians, "Though I am free and I belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." We share the gospel, pointing to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We serve by faith, giving ourselves away in acts of service. We give because God gave. We live like this world is not our home because it isn't. We serve like people matter to God because they do. We live like Jesus is building an eternal kingdom through our daily lives because He is. My friends, this is the response time of this Sunday morning. If you want to join me, if you want to join our pastoral staff in realizing this vision next year, would you stand and remain standing? Now, as possible, would you just take the friend, a neighbor's hand next to you, and we're going to pray together to conclude our service. I'm going to start this prayer by reading the prayer that Jesus is recorded as praying in John chapter 17, verse 20. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. God, we thank you for the great things that you have done in 2015. We give you all praise and glory and honor. And yet we know you're not done. So Lord, we thank you for the way you have kindled our faith this morning. We ask you to help us be who you're making us to be in Jesus Christ, to be full of faith and be faithful day in and day out. God, we pray you would do even greater things through us, that your kingdom would grow inside of our hearts and in our homes and in our church and in our community for Jesus' sake and in his name. And all God's people said, amen.